Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I'd like for us to look this morning at a wonderful passage of Scripture in John chapter 12. This is such a glorious event. And I want to begin by reading two verses here in John 12. Let's read verses 12 and 13. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel. What a glorious event. Can you picture that in your mind? Can you picture our Lord coming through town? And all of these people, they start running and they're cutting down palm branches, throwing them in his way, crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel." I love the glory of God. I love thinking about the majesty of God. Look at Luke chapter 2 with me. Luke 2 verse 7 says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." What a glorious event. Could you imagine that sight? Could you imagine that? Seeing the heavenly host praising God, crying with all of their being, "Glory to God in the highest. The King is here. The King is here. Peace has stepped foot on the earth. Goodwill has come to man. Glory to God in the highest." That one who came is the King. He is the King. He is our King. He's my King. And he's a King like no other. He is the King of kings. And back over in our text in John chapter 12, his subjects are throwing palm leaves in his path, crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel," while he rides triumphantly with his face like a flint straight into the heart of Jerusalem. Now, why were they crying that? What was he doing? Well, this chapter begins with our Lord having dinner with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. In John 12, verse 3, it says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this." What was he doing? He was going to die. That's what he was doing. He was going to die. The king came on purpose with a purpose. The king came on a mission, and that mission was to die. Back in Isaiah chapter 50, the heading at the top of my page for Isaiah 50 says, Christ's patient suffering. And now this is Isaiah 50. This is back in the middle of the Old Testament. I thought Christ didn't come until the New Testament. No. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This Old Testament is pointing to one person, Jesus Christ. Just like the New Testament points to one person, Jesus Christ. Every word in this book is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50 is all about Christ. And it says in verse 5, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear." This is Christ speaking. He said, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me." Let him come near to me. Hosanna means, "Oh, save." Our Lord set his face like a flint as he rode straight into the heart of the battle, and God opened his ears and he heard his people crying, "Oh, save. Oh, save us, Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." This king came for the purpose of redeeming his people. He came to die. Back over in John chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. I'm going to die, and I'm not going to be ashamed. I shall not fail." Verse 9 says, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." If a man declares the truth of the king, if a sinner declares how great things the Lord hath done for him, he is going to be persecuted for that. He is going to be. They wanted to kill Lazarus because Lazarus was going around telling other sinners what God did for him. And men and women started believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, we're going to kill him for that. Verse 12 says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. This king came to save. He came to die and redeem. The question I have is, who did he come to redeem? Isn't that a vital question? Shouldn't we all know the answer to that? Who did he come to save? It says, blessed is the King of Israel, doesn't it? That's who he came to save, Israel. Who is Israel? Jacob is Israel. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Do you mean the sinner? Jacob the sinner, the trickster, the supplanter? That's who he came to save? That's exactly who he came to save. He came to save sinners. The seed of Israel, the spiritual Jew. And listen to this. This word of God says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. It's of the heart, in the spirit. And do you know what that verse of Scripture is saying? This is what he's saying. Jacob was a sinner. The seed of Jacob, they're nothing but sinners. And what that verse of Scripture is saying, he's not a sinner which is one outwardly. Every person on the face of this planet knows he's a sinner outwardly. Every person does. If a person does not believe he's a sinner, then he is lying to himself and he's lying on God. Everybody knows he's a sinner. Every person knows they have not kept God's holy law perfectly, and they've not kept the laws that have been placed on us in this land perfectly. We're sinners. We're transgressors of the law. But he's not a true sinner, which is just one outwardly. Yes, I've done this. Yes, I've done that. No, he's not a true sinner, which is just one outwardly. He is a true sinner, which is one inwardly. In the heart, in the spirit, in the soul. Not just what I've done, what I am. What I am. In and out. Well, this king is the king of sinners. True sinners. True Jews. Look with me over in Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 says, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. He said, are you the king of the Jews? And our Lord said, you said it. It came out of your mouth. Verse 29 says, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. That's what they acknowledged him to be, the King of the Jews. Verse 37 says, and they set up over his head his accusation. This was all they could accuse him of. They tried to find fault with him, and they couldn't do it. This is all they could accuse him of. They set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. That's who this is. And verse 42 says, He saved others. This is what all the people were reviling him, saying to him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save if he be the king of Israel. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. If he's the king of Israel. No, he can't do that. He cannot save himself. That's what they said. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. He cannot save himself. Not if he's going to be the king. Not if he's going to be the redeemer, the savior of Israel. This king came to save sinners. Now back over in John chapter 12, verse 14 says, "And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." Now the glory of this is in verse 14. There's one little word in there that is so glorious. It's the word young. Young. When he had found a young ass. Look with me over at Luke chapter 19. This is the account of our Lord bringing that colt to him. Luke 19 verse 29 says, "And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. And those owners let that colt go. Now, no man had ever ridden this colt. No man. What that means is it had never been broken. Never. When a king is going to come riding in, whenever a king is going to be put on parade and come riding into a city, usually they're going to find the most tame animals they can find. They don't want any disruptions, no problems out of those animals. But nobody had ever ridden this colt before. And these disciples, they came to the place where the Lord told them to go, and they started unloosing this colt. And the owners said, What are you doing? And the disciples said, The Lord has need of him. The master has need of him. And the fact that the Lord made those owners willing to let the disciples take the colt, that was their property. That was their money. But the Lord made them willing to let the disciples take the colt. They were probably saying, You can have him. They were willing for the disciples. They wanted the disciples to take him. And I would imagine them saying, You can have him. No man can ride him anyway. He's nothing but stubborn and rebellious. There's not one good thing about him. He's not a good one for the master. If the master has need of him, he's not a good one. That's the worst one we have. He's wild as a buck. Now, I have an old broken one back here that seems like he'd be a much better fit for the master. If the master's going to ride him into town, I have one that seems like he'd be so much better. Seems like he'd be the one the master would want. The disciples said, no. The master said, this one. The wildest one. The vilest offender. You know, Christ came to save sinners. I do mean sinners. The worst of the worst. The chief of sinners. Christ said, bring him to me. I'm going to sit on him. And he's going to be broken. And I'm going to ride him and lead him in a plain path straight to Jerusalem. This king came to break and conquer rebellious sinners and turn them into submissive servants. He came to make his enemies his footstool. That's the glory of this, the absolute glory of this. And back over in John chapter 12, verse 14 says, Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. This king came to die and redeem. This king came to break and to conquer. And this king came to fulfill every single thing that was written in the scripture. That's what he came to do. He came to die and redeem. He came to break and conquer. And he came to fulfill every single thing that was written in the scripture. John chapter 18, verse 37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He said, to this end was I born. This is why I was born. This is why I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That I should fulfill every single thing in God's word that sinful man could not. I'm here to bear witness unto the truth. Back in John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 19, he said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Through the truth. I'm here to bear witness of the truth. So back in our text, John chapter 12, verse 16 says, these things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. This king came to be glorified. It says, when Jesus was glorified, after his work was accomplished, after he was risen from the grave, after he ascended back to his Father, after he was glorified, our Lord came that the Son of God might be glorified. Every single thing he did was to the praise of the glory of his grace. Every single thing. Verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. They were so upset, they said, the world is gone after him. The whole world? Has the whole world gone after him? No. The world of believers. The ones that our Lord died for. The ones he redeemed. The ones that he broke and conquered. The ones he fulfilled the word of God for, fulfilled the law for. The ones who he caused to give him all the glory. This king came to gather his kingdom unto himself. That's why he came. It's unto every nation, tribe, kindred, tongue, generation, the world. Not just the Jews, the Gentiles also, the world. But that world consists of all that the Father has given him. Now I'll close with this verse of Scripture over in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He's made known unto us why he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. Everything he went to accomplish. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Every bit of this is according to his good pleasure. He did all this because he wanted to. He was willing to. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Everything that God does is according to his purpose. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Every bit of this was in Christ. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Even in him. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. What do God's people say to this? Those who believe on what he came to accomplish for sinners. What do we say to these things? There's only one thing we can say. Hosanna. Blessed is the King. Oh, save us, Lord. That's why you came. Glory and honor be to thy name. Blessed is the King. Until next Sunday morning, may our Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.